We're back on In Focus News Radio, KMAN. And during the segment, I encourage people, if you have any questions, please give us a call, 785-537-1350. We have John Ford, Riley County Commissioner, joining us here. And we have a couple more guests in studio now. Health Department Director Julie Gibbs from the Riley County Health Department here. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And we have Andrew Adams, Emergency Preparedness Coordinator.
Yeah. Good morning.
All right. Andrew, thanks for being here. And boy, the topic of the day really for the last week or so here at our level has been the coronavirus. And did you guys have a meeting here this morning or did
we've had several meetings over the last few weeks. But yeah, we had a meeting yesterday with our EOC group, having another meeting later this week with our PIO group, really just to try to get prepared and make sure that everyone's on the same page, that we're all sending out that same consistent message. Just looking at getting prepared here in Riley County.
And so you have the hashtag that you're maybe trying to get trending here, prepared, not scared.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're hoping that that catches on.
One of the questions I have with this disease here, and I'm sure there's other people have the same questions, or I guess it's not really a disease, it's a virus, how would you know if you even have the coronavirus? What would be the first sign that you might have it?
Sure. So there are some main signs and symptoms that we're looking at and looking for. And so the biggest one, fever. So if you have a fever and you have those upper respiratory symptoms, so shortness of breath or a cough. And the real kicker with that too is travel exposure. So we really want to know where you've been. If you've been to these places where there's widespread transmission going on, that really does factor into determining if we think you might have the disease or not.
All right. And certain things sounds very similar to the flu almost.
Sure. So it is an upper respiratory illness, just similar to the flu in that regard. And so symptoms are similar, but we're really looking for that travel is really that big part of it. And so if you've got those kinds of symptoms, we encourage you to call your doctor and let them know, that you're sick. And if you've traveled, if you haven't traveled and you have those symptoms, still call your doctor, let them know. If it's not too severe, we do recommend that you do stay home. See if those symptoms subside after speaking with your provider. If they don't get any better, again, call your doctor back, and we'll take the next steps.
All right. We saw our first case of the COVID-19 strain over the weekend in Kansas City area, Johnson County specifically. And it sounds like they've taken the necessary precautions. She's now being treated at the University of Kansas Hospital there. Do we worry here a little bit about with spring break the travel aspect of people maybe coming back next week to the Manhattan area?
Sure. Yeah, we'll monitor that as people come back from their travels. And again, just pushing out that same consistent message to stay home if you're sick, call your healthcare provider if your symptoms get worse in the next few days. But again, don't be scared about this. We are monitoring the situation, and in a lot of cases, it will not be this actual virus if you are sick. So again, just stay in contact with your provider, and continue to look for valid, reliable sources online. So we have posts every day on Facebook, multiple times a day, that come from valid sources like KDHE or CDC. So just keep following that information. Follow what we put out there, and we'll continue to monitor.
I know there's the students who returned from Italy from K-State. They are being quarantined as I understand it. And as far as that's concerned here, they're just not allowed to leave the apartment. How does that work?
Right. We're monitoring them as well with the help of KDHE and the university. And a common misconception there is that they have the virus. I've seen that a lot on
right.
Facebook. That is not the case. They are asymptomatic. And again, we're monitoring them with the help of KDHE and Lafine Health Center.
And that was done pretty much out of caution here, just because they had been where the virus is. Well, I think Italy is one of the hardest hit locations outside of China.
Yes, absolutely. So they are to be quarantined for at least 14 days.
All right. Any other misconceptions you guys have seen out there that you'd like to maybe clarify to the public?
I think one big one is has been kind of that run on masks, on surgical masks, on N95s and things like that. And that's something that's not recommended unless you are sick. The CDC recommends, KDHA recommends, we recommend not wearing a mask out and about in public unless you, in fact, have symptoms. Otherwise, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. But that, you know, that's one big one. Again, knowing the basics for disease prevention in general, those washing your hands, the staying home when you're sick, the covering your coughs and your sneezes, those are the big preventative actions anyone and everyone can take any time of the year. And it's just of that utmost importance. Again, at this time, we're still in the middle of flu season. Those same methods can help prevent the spread of the flu and keep everyone, not just yourself, but help protect those around you as well.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing that, you know, people say that there's been more deaths from the flu this season, and I don't know if that's true or not, but and maybe you can clarify that, but I'm not even sure what the death toll's at for the coronavirus here in the United States at this point.
I think we're up to about 20 for that. So, yeah, the flu has, yeah, we see far more deaths from the flu than we have from coronavirus.
Right. There's two different types. There's the influenza A and influenza B, so both of them have been kind of heightened this year, so... that kind of adds to those figures.
And I know there's work right now to be done on antiviral medication, maybe a vaccine, but that's, again, not going to be for a while, as I understand, maybe not till next year.
Correct. So there are several universities and research centers nationwide, worldwide, working on vaccine development for the novel coronavirus, but that process does take a good amount of time. So we've got to go through numerous tests and trials and retests to make sure that it's effective before anything could be rolled out. And that's usually a pretty extended timeline.
And I might mention that at the federal level, you know, the administration had asked for $2.5 billion to help with these efforts. Congress has appropriated $8.3 billion, which was signed Friday. But it does take some time to go through. And I think some of this is for preventative measures, both now and in the future, as well as vaccines and as well as being able to ramp production for the things that we talked about here. I am under the knowledge anyway that MBAF, when fully operational, will be working on this here. So there will also be local efforts helping out with this particular infection as well.
All right. Very good. Well, it's obviously this is a new thing, kind of new territory. We're seeing the you know, at the national and worldwide level, drastic measures being taken here. I don't know that we'll see that here at the in the Manhattan area, but something to probably keep an eye on going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. We're monitoring the situation every day. We always have our sources ready to go first thing in the morning. So we're continuing to monitor and continuing to meet with our partners, including emergency management, EMS, Manhattan Fire Department, the police department, just to make sure that we're prepared and that we're ready if we needed that.
Meeting today still at the Riley County Center for anybody that wants to come?
Yes. So I will be down at the Riley County Senior Center at 1 o'clock this afternoon to give a little presentation just about coronavirus, about what the county's been doing to prepare, and about what the general public can do.
Great. And that's a good opportunity for anybody, especially the senior community here who are one of the more vulnerable populations to this virus, as I understand.
Absolutely. Just, you know, similar with other upper respiratory infections, that elderly community, really the community over 65 years of age is usually at a bit of an increased risk for that. And so getting out that message to them as well is really important.
All right. I have a caller on the line with a question here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
It seems like it's not an if, but when Riley County and Manhattan will have their first confirmed case, what specific steps will be taken with that individual?
Sure. So we've been working with our healthcare provider partners, everyone from primary care doctors to urgent care facilities to the hospital, to work on that procedure. And so the biggest thing is staying informed, and we've been trying to share out that information similarly to the public and to our providers. So we do have processes and procedures in place for that. We're not making it up on the fly. You know, we've had these procedures and these things for quite some time, and it's just refreshing them a bit because the virus is new, but you know, our processes and our partnerships and our relationships are not. They're strong and established, and so we do have some things in place that will hopefully kick into gear when needed.
And the patient in Johnson County was actually a good example.
Go into isolation in the hospital, for example?
I'm sorry?
Go ahead and repeat that, caller.
Yes. Would our hospital be able to put an individual with confirmed case in isolation?
Sure. So there are a lot of different factors that would go into that, including the severity of illness. And so during the testing process, that person would be isolated, whether that's at home or in a facility. That really is a case-by-case basis based on the clinical presentation. So depending on how sick they are would really determine where we would have them.
Okay. Well, thank you, and good luck with all you're doing.
Thank you.
And with that, I might just ask, if somebody does start to display the signs and symptoms of this virus, is the best practice maybe to call your doctor first before just going there with the potential of infecting more people?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely call your doctor first. Let them know of your symptoms and any potential exposure. And then we would take the steps needed from there.
I'd have a question for you too, Andrew, on that. If you don't have a primary care physician, what is the best option? Would it be calling the health department, the hospital, both?
I would say to let the health department know. Call us and let us know, again, those signs and symptoms, you know, any travel, and then we'll same process, we would put into motion.
Right, we hear a lot about the test kits. Will we see those coming here at some point to our area?
I don't have a good answer for that. I would think it depends on the availability and the ability of the different labs throughout the state and throughout the country, really, to do that. Right now, there's a distinction between specimen collection and testing, and a lot of that might get confused. And so we do have the ability to collect specimens that we can send off for testing locally. But that testing is done. We have a process in place with the state to ensure that testing is done at the state level at this point.
All right. And then we've got a couple minutes left here. I know over the weekend when they had the first case, it was the first presumed positive case. When you hear that, you hear a bunch of words there. So we do know, in fact, that now that she does, in fact, have the coronavirus, correct?
Correct. So the presumptive positive goes back to how the testing works. And so at this point, all of the testing, again, goes through the state lab. And if those results do come back positive, they will send it off to the CDC for confirmatory testing. So just to really double check and make sure that person does, in fact, have the illness.
All right. There's a lot of moving parts to this, and it's hard to stay on top of it. And we try to do the best we can here to keep people informed. Anything else maybe I haven't touched on that you feel we need to do so on?
One other meeting that we had last week was with our healthcare providers in the community. It was a meeting to address concerns and talk through some situations. So we have now a good idea of what their concerns are, and a lot of it did have to do with testing. And so that we have an Adobe Connect form right now, where it's a platform where they can all come together and discuss issues. We can also post all of our information there for them. So I think that's a step in the right direction for us.
Yeah, and for the public, if you go to the RileyCountyKS.gov website, we have a webpage specifically for coronavirus. It's RileyCountyKS.gov/COVID-19.
Okay. Thank you so much, Andrew Adams, Julie Gibbs, John Ford, for enlightening us and keeping us informed.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll continue with Clark Howard's show up next here on News Radio KMAN.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much. Thanks to all of our guests this morning, and also K-State AD Gene Taylor for joining us in the first half.